This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, it's 4 o'clock and time for a little Patriots season preview talk. And football talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And as I mentioned before the break, yesterday we talked big picture NFL previews. We picked playoff teams, Super Bowl winners, MVPs, fired coaches, the whole kit and caboodle. Today we decided, Patriots Friday, let's look at the Patriots season. So Dan Ball, once again, you're going to lead us in this little around-the-horn version of Crystal Ball, what's going to happen with the Patriots this season. Ooh, music.
Might as well at least put everybody in the mood with the NFL on Fox theme.
Love it.
As we get you ready for the 2025 Patriots season, a lot of roster turnover, a lot of intrigue. You got people picking 6 wins. You got people picking 11 wins. And you have us picking some of these superlatives for the 2025 season.
And or you have Brian Hoyer picking everything in between.
Yeah, there'll be a playoff team or not a playoff team or at the top of the draft. Who knows? But Brian Hoyer, one of the very best. So we'll see if we can get him to actually pick a lane after week one. But in the meantime, we'll pick our superlatives for the 2025 season. We'll go Andy, Fitzy, and Ted, beginning with the most important, the most valuable player on the Patriots in 2025. Andy Hart, who will that be?
I don't follow rules very well, so I'm going to cheat here. And I'm actually going to pick two guys that we just spent a lot of the last segment talking about. I think the defensive tackles are going to be the MVPs of this team. I think it's going to be Milton Williams and Christian Barmore. And I don't think teams are going to treat them the same every week. I think they're going to be so sort of a tandem or week to week that some teams will double Williams. Barmore might get some matchups, might go the other way the next week. But I think those guys are going to set the tone not only for the front end, but for the back end. I think they're going to be that interior pass rush. So it's going to be a two-headed MVP. It's Milton Williams, Christian Barmore. It's $200 million. Yes, Dan Ball.
Let's go to the judges.
No, that's okay.
No, you got to pick one.
No, I don't, because Peter King, who votes for legit the real MVP award, once voted half for two different people, a 0.5 vote and a 0.5 vote.
It was precedence.
If you can do it in the real world, you can do it on this radio
Peter
show
King,
where
Hall of Famer can do it.
Because who's in control?
Me. So who's your MVP?
I'm
Milton Williams and Christian Barmore. That's, so move on.
That's weak. Fitzy, can you show them how it's done?
Yes, I absolutely will. And I'm going to go chalk for a change as opposed to trying to be unique, cute, or boutique. The most valuable player in this team is exactly the person you're going to need to lead you to relevance, a good record, a winning record, or for those that are still high, high, high on springtime Patriots vibes, it's got to be Drake May. If Drake May plays the way that we think he can, which is a little bit better than 2021 Mac Jones, but not quite as great as 2024 Jaden Daniels, then the New England Patriots are going to be in all of these games. That means the line is held up for him. That means he's listening to Joss's coaching. That means that Steph Diggs is getting open. That means that Kayshon Booty is fulfilling Tommy Curran's faith and Travion Henderson is scoring whenever he gets the ball in his hands. I think Drake May has to be your MVP for this team to be good.
All right, there you go. Teddy, what do you got?
One of my big key stats for going into the season was that the quarterback had to have a 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. And I believe the MVP will be Drake May. He is going to throw 27 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. He's going to complete 67% or better of his passes, and he's going to eclipse 3,800 yards. So to me, that is worthy of an MVP nod. I think he is your MVP at the end of the season.
That's one of the more ringing endorsements I've heard of Drake May in a while. And I really hope you're right. Because
I hope I'm right, brother.
I think if he's your MVP, we're talking about a team that's at least going for a wild card spot.
Oh, I want him to be the MVP.
Yeah.
Just not sure he's going to be.
That's fair. So you didn't listen and pick two. So we'll go with that. Two Drake Mays and two defensive players for Andy. So again, your next best offensive player, like we talked about yesterday, your offensive player of the year, Andy Hart, your pick.
Here's where I hearken back to Nick Fitzy Stevens around 3:12 today in his 3-point stance. Ramondre Stevenson. He is going to enjoy and be boosted by the help and the competition that Travion Henderson provides. I think he is going to have a tremendous year. tremendous. Lots of touchdowns, lots of receptions, lots of big plays. He's going to be fresh. He's going to be productive. It's Mondre.
Mm. You're going Mondre, huh?
Damn
okay,
right.
I like it.
I can guess where you're going.
Listen, I'm staying chalk. Your offensive player of the year is also your MVP. And here's one thing I need Josh to do. Like I said, I'm not going to even weigh in with a full Drake assessment until mid to late October, because I think he's going to need six games to A, complete a full NFL season, since he only started 11 in the tire fire of the 2024 Pats, and B, a little extra time to get used to playing with Josh in his ear in that complicated playbook that we heard that Ish is calculus in. That being said, once he's comfortable and he starts using his legs even more, not just to escape a collapsing offensive line, he is going to become, much like Iceman and Maverick in Top Gun, dangerous. And I think that's when you're really going to get excited about watching Drake May in the future of football in Foxborough. So I'm going to go OPOY, same as MVP, Drakeo May.
That's right, Iceman. I am dangerous. All right, I'm going with DeMario Douglas is going to be the offensive player of the year.
That's so good.
He had 66 receptions last year for 621 yards. I'm gonna bump that up to probably 80 catches for close to 850 yards and seven touchdowns is kind of what I'm looking at for a stat line. DeMario Douglas has been getting a lot of love in camp. A lot of attention is going to him. And so he's going to be that slot receiver that they haven't had in a while. So he is my offensive player of the year.
Love that. Okay, let's flip over to the other side of the field. The only one that really matters, right, Ted? The defensive side of the field for the defensive player of the year. Andy Hart, who is that for you?
Here's where I definitely go chalk, assuming he gets on the field, and that would be Christian Gonzalez. He's your all-pro. He's your best player. He is the key to the back end. And I'm not going to double dip with, you know, one of the D-tackles here, so I think Christian Gonzalez is going to be asked on a weekly basis to cover the other team's number one receiver, and he proved last year he is up to that task, assuming his hamstring actually works.
Okay, here's where I'm going to go with what everyone told me way back in the spring when we were all hype on the Patriots being a playoff team, 10-11 wins, OMFG. And that is, hey, there's going to be a new favorite football player in Foxborough, and he wears the number of some of your other favorite New England Patriots, including Steve Grogan, and that would be number 14, the barroom brawler, the unofficial dropkick Murphy, the bouncer at every bar you've been to in Southie, Robert Spillane, because I think he is going to be in charge of cleaning up so many different things along the line, in the middle of the field. He's okay in coverage. He's 170 tackles guaranteed, and I think he, guys, as much as we want to love this defensive line, and we have confidence in the back end with Gonzo, I don't know how healthy he's going to be or how many games he might miss. I bet you Spillane would have to lose two limbs like the Black Knight and Monty Python and the Holy Grail to be taken off the field. So I think he is going to be your defensive player of the year.
So Spillane's only missed one game in the last 3 years, so he's dependable in that regard. He had averaged 150 tackles the last 2 years. He'll lead the team in tackles. He's got a nose for the ball, multiple interceptions in the last couple years. I just don't think anybody on the D-line is going to show out. And I just think at the end of the day, you're going to see a solid stat line from Robert Spillane, who was probably your most consistent player. So give me Robert Spillane.
You two. You sharing a brain today, you two?
Yes.
Like-minded. Did you guys just become best friends?
Wow.
We're doing karate in the garage at 6:05.
Two best friends that anyone could have. There you go. So
did you say guaranteed 170 tackles?
Sounds
like a lot.
It'd be the most he's ever had in his career.
But like Ted, doesn't he average somewhere like around 150, 160?
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
And you're not the first I've heard that. The Athletic did a bold prediction. Chad Graff did like 10 bold predictions, and he said Spillane will not only lead the Patriots in tackles, but he'll lead the entire NFL in tackles this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
170, I think, would do it, I would think.
Oh, I think if you get 170, and that's 10 a game, which is doable, I guess.
I mean, I averaged 9 in my career, but, you know.
So. Oh, Lord.
Not a
Ted,
big
Wait, Ted,
deal.
You played in the NFL?
I did. I haven't heard.
Got some nice jewelry as a result. Okay. You could take this as a good or a bad thing, but a lot of rookies to choose from for the rookie of the year for the New England Patriots. Andy Hart, who's that for you?
I'm going to go Travion Henderson.
Why'd you say that sadly?
Well, because I feel like it's the common, everybody's doing it the same. I want it to be Will Campbell. That's who I'm rooting for, because I want everybody to be like, oh, my God. Because all our fights and our debates and arm length and left tackle and guard, it would be probably better for the football team if he's your best rookie and you're like, wow, we have a franchise left tackle out there. But I think it's probably Travion Henderson.
I'm going Travion Henderson. Sorry, I just cut in front of you there, Fitz.
I bet you goes Travion Henderson too.
Because I'm guessing.
No, I was gonna say I'm gonna let my new football best friend pick it for me. I'm Travion all the way. And Ted, I'm sure you were listening on the way in when we had the pleasure of speaking to Jeremy Springer, special teams coordinator at 2:15. But the way that he sort of broke down the new dynamic kickoff and how it's not 11 on 11 anymore, but rather it's like a 9-on-7 running play that it's turning into an offensive play, not a special teams play, that just lends value to Travion Henderson having that breakaway speed, ball security, and being big enough to handle the new sort of like zone running play that kickoff returns have become.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to go point to him because he can take – so what you want in your wide receiver – is the elite guy is the guy that can take a slant to the house.
Yeah.
The elite running back is the guy that can take a screen to the house. That's Travion Henderson. So it's really, to me, easy picking him as rookie of the year.
Very excited to see what he can be.
Yep.
Very excited indeed. Okay, to the other superlatives, not necessarily with names across the league. The leading wide receiver is what Andy wrote in his email. So, by season's end, Andy, we are saying the number one wide receiver for the New England Patriots is who?
Ted's guy.
Nice.
Pop Douglas.
I like that.
I think the slot receiver of the Patriots offense, he's got to stay healthy. That's my concern. I think he's going to get some volume thrown his way. And I always go back to those guys, the Welkers of the world. One of their greatest abilities was you can throw them the ball 10 times a game, and they get up 10 times for you to throw it to them again. And that's not easy to do at their size in the middle of the field. I always go back to that old Michael Irvin thing where he joked, there's two places I can go. If I go inside, I go to the hospital. If I go down the field, I go to the Hall of Fame. So I'm going down the field and not going inside.
I like that.
He's going to have to go inside sometimes and take some bumps
a lot
and
of times.
Get up. So, yeah, I think Pop Douglas is going to have a nice year. Now, I don't know if it'll be 1,000, Fitzy. But I think he's going to lead the team in reception in yards.
Oh, interesting. Ted, are you with him in that Pop Douglas will be
Pop
the receiver?
Douglas, 850 yards. Yep, leads the team.
Oh, man, just when we were all vibing and copacetic together, I'm going to have to break up with y'all. I'm going Kayshon Booty. I think Kayshon Boutte, who Tom E. Curran, regular friend of and guest of the station and the show, said he's primed for the leap. I think he makes the year three leap, which is really kind of a year two, because first year after the Eagles game was kind of a benching for him. He obviously showed the deep threat connection last year with Drake May as well. I was listening to him on a podcast recently with Taylor Kyles at CLNS, and just the way that he talks about his game and the way he's seeing the field and that he lost weight but put on some muscle and he's gained a little speed and that he's been described as a more mature professional receiver this year. I think he's going to out-receive Steph Diggs. I think he's going to get more yards than Pop Douglas, who I do have size concern over. And I think Kayshon is ready for a primetime professional NFL feature spot this year. So give me Kayshon Booty for the leading receiver.
Yeah, and it could be bunched up, too. They could have like 3 700-yard receivers.
I think that's exactly how Josh would like it.
Yeah, so the leader.
That would be awesome.
I'm all for it. You know, and I think that's good for Drake. Spread it around. Don't have a go-to guy. Don't have any pressure to go to one guy. So that could be good for them. Dan Ball.
All right. On we go. I'm just going to read this verbatim from Andy. Leading sack guy is how he wrote it in his email. So, Andy, who is getting to the quarterback most often
leading
this year?
Leading sack guy.
I'm going to go with the sack master, not Chaseon, who is the hot new name. I'm going to go Christian Barmore, and I think that combo inside Barmore is going to end up the more productive of that interior combo. I don't think they're going to have a huge sack number guy, 9, maybe 8, could lead this team in sacks. I'm hoping they have, like at receiver, a bunch of guys with a bunch of sacks from different, but I'm going to go Barmore for the leader.
I'm going to go with Chaseon, and I think what we end up having is a double-digit sack season from the guy who's coming on out of nowhere, revitalizing his career at what is going to be like a midway point, like a stop house. Like he's going to come here, stay for a year, crush it, then get paid somewhere else next season. Kind of like the way Hassan, who was it who got paid coming out? A Sweat, you know, had a career year at the tail end of it last year for Philadelphia. And Josh Sweat got paid to go to Arizona. Watch Chaseon have like 11 and a half sacks, passing Landry a few more than Barmore, and then somewhere next year he gets 4 for 60 and the Patriots work with Keon White or try to bring Swinson along, etc. So I got Chaseon being your sack leader.
I'm going with the kind of the bigger name that was brought in free agency edge rusher, and that's Harold Landry. So he's had a couple years in his career where he's had 10 plus sacks. I think he will lead the team And it's not going to be a lot of sacks because I hope you're right. I hope it's a bunch of guys getting, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 sacks. But he'll lead the team with 11 sacks, Harold Landry.
Okay. Now, to a couple of thought-provoking questions that were added at the end of the list. Andy Hart, what is the biggest question? I'm Rod Burgundy with the 2025 Patriots.
You say, 1, 2, 3, we'll say it at the same time.
Offensive line.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
sorry. I forgot the 1, 2, and 3.
One, two, three.
Offensive line.
We'll fight and die to protect him with everything I've got.
Yep. Don't die. Just protect him. And I think everything they do offensively hinges on how good that line is. Maybe how good, by some measure, the left tackle is. I heard Josh, I mentioned this earlier. I don't know if you watched Josh's press conference. He kind of alluded to they might rotate some guys early in the year. Which is something they've done in the past. Just on the line. He was like, just because we put 5 guys out there could be early in the year conditioning. I forgot exactly. And they've done that in the past, especially if they have a couple spots. They're not sold. They have a lockdown starter.
Yeah.
If the offensive line is mostly good enough, then I'm taking the high. My win total's too low. Now, I have my doubts about the line, but if they're good enough, this team might be good enough.
Where does Gonzo's health rank in terms of questions about the team? Like, if he misses a second week, does this now officially become a priority question about the team?
No, I have to go longer than that. Although no. I do always worry about hamstrings and muscle injuries and whatever. But
if you told me he was out for half the year, I would say, yeah, that's probably my biggest concern is secondary. Yeah.
But I'm going to assume
it's O-line.
I'm going to assume they're being cautious and overly cautious and making sure that when he comes back, he's fully healthy and he doesn't miss half the year after that.
So the O-line, the biggest concerns are the left side. Maybe it probably starting a rookie at left guard and left tackle. And
feast.
You could see from the very first preseason game, their first long third and down, they got the quarterback killed because they didn't pick up an X stunt. And that's what you worry about is teams game planning that left side with rookies starting on that side in those third and long situations. That is something that you got to be watching early in these games early in the season.
Well, as we're watching these games early in the season, Andy Hart, we will be saying the biggest strength of the New England Patriots is what?
That's easy for me. I had 2 MVPs, 2 guys, 1 award. The defensive tackles, the interior defensive line, I think is the biggest strength on this roster. And I hope I'm right because I think that could be key to what Terrell Williams and Mike Vrabel want to do on defense.
Man, that'd be great.
What Andy said and what Ted echoed.
Ooh, I thought somebody would go backfield.
I didn't get my answer.
My apologies, Ted. Yeah.
The biggest strength is going to be the coaching. That is going to be their biggest strength, coaching.
Wow.
His guy.
Would you like to
when you share a huddle together?
I think they'll be prepared. I think they'll have in-game management. There won't be a question mark. We won't be going, why are they running the ball on first down? Right, but you know, with 1.5 left and 2 timeouts still on the clock. I just think they'll have better game plans, better in-game management, and be better coach than they've been here for a very long time.
How quickly into Sunday do we notice that, Ted?
You should notice it pretty quick.
I mean, last year, didn't they have a couple times where they had a motion penalty on the kickoff? They got a flag on the kickoff, so we could know. Made it through the kickoff with no penalties.
Was it the first kickoff?
I think so.
I think you're right. I think it was the first kickoff of the season.
A guy moved too early.
No, it was. Yeah, you're right. They won that game. And Twitter was like, there you go. This is what it's going to be like this year. Funny thing it was.
So if they don't have a flag on the opening kickoff, we've already seen improvement right out the gates.
That is kind of crazy. 0 seconds into the season, we're already moving backwards.
Right.
We probably should have known at the time.
I will say, though, Ted, if Vrabel's efforts against the Patriots and Belichick are indicative of what we're going to continue to see on a weekly basis, I'm ready for that. Because he used to kind of have his way with Bill and the Patriots at times.
He did.
Well, that's the stretch factor for you.
I have one question on Ted's answer, and then we can move to the last one. And it's a genuine question. If we come away out of this season saying, coaching was the strength of the New England Patriots, is that good enough to be a playoff team? Can you be a playoff team if your biggest strength is coaching versus what's happening on the field?
I think so, because I think the talent is average to at best, and so I think if they're going to be a playoff team, it's because they won games on the margin, and that usually reflects good coaching.
Okay,
should I poke the bear, Dan?
Always.
Well, they won 3 Super Bowls to start a dynasty where coaching was the biggest strength of the team.
You know what? He was worth 10%. I'd say.
Bill Belichick has done it again.
Andy Hart trying to get himself killed.
You might have gone fly fishing last week, but I just hooked one right there. I set the lure reeled it in.
All right, I'm going to combine the last two for our final answer here before we get to trending and Rob Bradford. The most important game of the season is what? And then the game that you said the best, but the game you're most excited to watch is what this season?
Okay, so this may be overdramatic, but I've kind of tipped my hand at this all week. I think the most important game of the season is Sunday at 1 o'clock at Gillette Stadium. I think getting off to a hot start matters. I think kind of getting going under the Vrabel era matters, Mike and Drake May and Josh. But I also think if they're going to have aspirations of contending for a playoff spot late in the year, this Raiders game is one you need to win early. You need to get it in your back pocket. Otherwise, I think you'll be kicking yourself and you'll be out of it come December because you lost this game. So I think the most important game is this one. And then the one I'm most excited about is Week 16 at the Ravens, because I want you to still be – I don't think you're going to beat the Ravens, and I don't think you're anywhere near as good as the Ravens. But I want you to still be competitive and engaged in that game to matter, and me to see how you measure up against maybe the best team in the AFC or maybe in all of football. So I'm looking forward to that game still being a real football game come late in the year.
I'm going to say that the most important game is also the game that I'm most excited to watch. It's the first game of October. It will be the rivalry game for the home team, or the rivalry outfit game for the home team, the Buffalo Bills in their ice white Bills unis. It's Patriots at Bills on Sunday Night Football. And if the stars align themselves, then we're talking about a Sunday Night Football game where potentially your 3-1 Patriots come in and take on a 3-1 or 4-0 Buffalo Bills. There'll be a little bit of that, oh, could first in the AFC be on the line tonight? Nope. While the Boston Red Sox are also still in the playoffs pursuing a chance to make it all the way to the American League Championship Series, we hope as well. So the vibes, Boston sports-wise, should be immaculate at that time of year.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope. The most important game for me, I think, is that first division game against the Dolphins in Week 2. I'm curious to see how they do. You got to beat your division foes. And then the game I'm most excited, I'm kind of excited to see them play the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers and T.J. Watt going against Will Campbell. To me, those are fascinating matchups in the third week of the season. So that's what I'm the game I'm most excited to watch.
All right, those are our predictions for the Patriots season that is underway as of Sunday. But the Red Sox are still playing. Red Sox got a big game tonight in Arizona. It's a Toley start. We're not cool like the Midday Show. We're not all wearing fake mustaches for Peyton Toley to celebrate the day. But up next, we'll talk to somebody who's out there with Peyton Toley, who spoke with Peyton Toley. Our guy Rob Bradford will join us next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.